I want to start by telling a little story. Maybe you've heard it before, but it's about when you die, you go to heaven. Of course, we realize that's not an accurate biblical concept, and that when you die, you're asleep. And then when Christ returns, he'll awaken all of those who have fallen asleep in Christ and take them to a heavenly home. Here's what happened, however, if you can kind of take it in a cartoon sense sort of way, was that after somebody died, they went to heaven, and St. Peter was standing at the pearly gates. He takes one look at the person and says, "Your username and password don't match." Now, I don't know if you've ever been in a similar situation where you couldn't get access to a particular location because you forgot your username or password, or both, or one or the other. In today's world, they have a little button underneath your password that says, "Did you forget your password?" And then you can kind of go through some gyrations and some steps to, get them to send you what your password was, or you can make up a new one. But just a little bit of personal revealing here. I have 7 pages of passwords. Now, I don't know how many you have, or maybe you just use the same password for every website or every place that you log in. And generally speaking, that's not really a good thing to do for security purposes. But regardless, passwords are needed at some point to gain access. Access to various accounts, special places, and as you know, occasionally you'll be asked to change your password, and now you're being, I wouldn't say against your will, I was going to use the word forced, you're being asked by some unknown, intangible force out there in cyberspace to change your password, and that old ones are forgotten, and now you've got to think of something completely new. Unfortunately, a lot of times you put in a new password and they won't accept it. It's not good enough. You forgot the right characters. You've got to use capital letters. You've got to use a number. You've got to use a certain combination of characters. You know what I'm saying? Can anybody relate to this? Our lives are full of these types of things. And yet, are they important to you? Of course, yes. If you forget your password to your bank, you're trying to get into your bank online, it is at the very least very inconvenient. And if you feel like your identity has been compromised and someone else has gotten your password to your bank account, your account, your heart rate might go up. If you thought someone had access to your PIN number for your debit card, it might cause you a little bit of concern because your PIN code is an extremely important thing to remember and something that probably you do your best to not forget. I'm not saying you don't forget it, but you do your best to not forget. And even for somebody who says, "I don't want anything to do with technology, I'm never going to get a smartphone, I'm never going to upgrade, I'm never going to have a computer," somewhere, someplace, you will be required to identify yourself. So you're going to carry a driver's license with you or something else to allow somebody to know who you are. You go to the doctor, you go to the dentist, you know what they want to see, we want to see your insurance card, we want to see your driver's license, we want to know who's going to be responsible for paying for this. All sorts of questions, all sorts of hoops you have to jump through, so to speak, to gain access. And so I guess if there was one thing I want you to remember from this sharing, and I know that's a relatively longer introduction, it's what I kind of call the password for all time, our password for eternity. And over 500 times in the Bible, depending on what version you use, we are reminded of it. 500 times we're reminded of it. Now, I can't hear you, but what do you think that is? Well, I know this is kind of old school, but you remember the old dial phones or the push-button touchtone phones? And even on today's phones, on your phone right now, on your cell phone, there are certain letters that correspond to the numbers. And so what I've done, and I've kind of had fun with this last few years, is that the words L-O-V-E, L-O-V-E, love, those correspond to the letters on a telephone keypad of 5683. This is a password I want you to remember, because these numbers correspond to those particular letters. 5683. You see, 5 corresponds to the letter L, and as we've been taught, or maybe you're learning for the first time, it's biblically significant, and it is the biblical number for grace. And grace is something that we receive for free that we did not deserve. So that's 5. Number 6 corresponds to the letter 0 or O, and it is the biblically significant number for man, who without grace is hopeless. The number 8, which corresponds to the letter V, is the biblically significant number for a new beginning, which was provided for man by God's grace through his Son, Jesus Christ. And finally, the last letter and the last number is 3. 3 corresponds to the letter E and is biblically significant for completeness. So to kind of make this in a complete statement, grace to man offers him a new beginning, which brings him into that completeness which we have in Christ Jesus. Now, isn't that amazing? 5683 is kind of a really unique thing. 5 means grace, 6 means man, 8 means new beginning, and 3 means completeness. God's grace has been extended to man by way of Jesus Christ, and it has enabled man to have what? A new beginning, so he can live out his identity in Christ. There's only one way, guys, that that could have happened, and that's with love. That's the password. I mean, I'm kind of having fun with these numbers, and it just so happened it worked out to make some really interesting comments and statements about this biblical significance of those numbers. But 5683, L-O-V-E. You know, at 1 Corinthians 13, at the very end of the chapter, where we're going to look at it here in a minute, Paul says that there's 3 great things, right? Well, you can look at it right now if you like. 1 Corinthians 13:13. I'm going to read it. You're welcome to look at it. 1 Corinthians 13:13. Reading from the New King James Version, says, "And now abideth faith, hope, love, these 3. But the greatest of these is love." Paul says that there's 3 great things, right? Faith, hope, and love. But what does he say the greatest is? It's our password, L-O-V-E. The greatest. Over 500 times God talks about this in the Bible. You know, that to me is biblically significant that God is trying to get a point across, you think? So I'm proposing this as you look forward from today, tonight. Remember your password for eternity, a password for all time. This one should be relatively simple to remember. L-O-V-E. And this is the statement I've made about it. Grace to man offers a new beginning in completeness. Love is the beginning, it's the present, and it's the future. It is the foundation upon which God brought into being a perfectly balanced, uniquely harmonious, and if we were to think of it in light of an orchestra, just so richly pitched. It was at the heart of creation. And really, it's really the red thread that binds everything together from Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:21, right? Love, it soothes the soul, it quiets the mind. Love brings comfort to the lost, the lonely, the forgotten, and the troubled. Love was there in creation, and love molded mankind. Love brings peace. Love brings stillness. Love provides hope. Love provides freedom. Love leads us beside still waters. Love guides us to green pastures. Love looks for the one amongst the 99. Love carries us in our weakness. Love uplifts the brokenhearted. Love fills the void, and love builds bridges. Love laid the foundation, and love supplies every need. Love gave the blueprint. Love makes provision. Love cares, and love tenderizes. Love mediates. Love moderates, and love tolerates. And according to the scripture, love is who God is. 1 Corinthians 13:13. Now abideth faith, hope, love, these things. But the greatest of these is love. Father, you brought into our lives, just in your own unique, miraculous way, a love that we so desperately needed, and we still continue to crave it and have it reinforced in our hearts, Father. And I just pray that we can stand humbly before you here tonight, that you would even reveal more to us, Father, of the way you care for us, the way you tenderize us, the way you guide us, lead us, direct us, teach us, help us, in whatever unique ways and manners and fashions that we would need at this very moment in our lives. And we're all different, but we're all uniquely bonded together because of love and what you've done and what Jesus did in loving us so much to make that perfect sacrifice on our behalf to bring us into this environment that's so perfectly balanced and uniquely harmonious. So, God, we do love you. You're the author of love, the perfecter of love, the initiator of love. And, you know, we just do our best, Father, to express to you the best we can by our words, by our actions, by the things that we attempt to do, Father, with a heart that looks towards you and seeks you. So we pray that these words, Father, are meaningful tonight, and that we can enjoy the blessings and the benefits of being one of your children. And we pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.